experimentation.
Curiosity.
The next idea.
Technology alone is not enough.
Advances in computer technology are one of the many factors that have led to the decline of certain types of jobs. But to some extent, technology has always played a role in changing how we work and live. Think of the internal combustion engine or factory mechanization. Today's guest on The Next Idea, though, is wondering if advances in artificial intelligence could be a tipping point into societal unrest, even revolt, because of loss of jobs. Dr. Kentaro Toyama is the W.K. Kellogg Associate Professor at the University of Michigan School of Information. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So we have already seen declines in some types of employment because of automation in the U.S. Bank tellers, travel agents, assembly jobs. You wrote a piece for TheConversation.com, though, where you argue the advances in artificial intelligence will soon replace another tier of jobs. What kind of jobs are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm mostly thinking of kind of white-collar professional jobs, jobs that, you know, we are used to thinking of as requiring a good education and that really need to be done by human beings. So there are jobs like certain kinds of legal work, you know, writing contracts, or jobs like financial analysis, where investment banks require a lot of analysis of the day's news and how that might affect their investments. And of course, even journalism. So increasingly, there are technologies that write certain kinds of news articles on their own.
So you're talking about the very students that could be sitting before you in class.
Absolutely, yes. I certainly have students whose jobs, 10, 20 years out might no longer exist.
Okay, that does jolt you. And we kind of think, maybe take comfort as computers and AI have been developing. Well, they can't do important things that a human can do, have feelings or emotions or express creativity. And the machines need humans to drive all this, but you're saying not so much anymore?
Well, I think, this has been a philosophical debate for some time, which is what are the limits of what computers can do? Some things, arguably computers will never do, like actually experience the emotions. But increasingly, we're finding that the kind of cognitive side, the processing side of what we consider human intelligence, almost all of it can be done by computer. And I personally believe that, unless you believe in supernatural forces, even within human beings, that there's no reason why anything that you can think couldn't ultimately be done by computer.
So if white-collar workers, these kind of jobs you were describing, were suddenly without jobs, if these jobs go away, what do you think might happen to American society?
I think you'll see more and more of what we're already seeing, which is a kind of prolonged crisis in about the way people feel about the economy. Right now we already have a pretty high rate of unemployment, but imagine that extends, not just to people who have blue-collar skills, but to the white-collar workforce. That's a significant percentage of the population.
And that unemployment has tended to be in the service and blue-collar areas. Why haven't we been concerned about the disappearance of those
jobs?
Well,
we should be, and I think, some people are. But it doesn't, it's not quite as many of the people that we would like to be convinced. And I think one of the reasons is that people who tend to hold those jobs have much less influence, political influence. They're less connected to wealthy people. They're less able to organize and articulate exactly what the issues are. In the past, we've had trade unions and so on that did a good job, I think, of expressing those issues. But even those are now going away. And so as a result, there's not a strong voice that is really arguing for their needs.
In your piece for TheConversation.com, I found it interesting. You used the example of the Luddites in 19th century England. And just to remind everybody back from history class, they protested against industrialization, didn't they?
They did, and they were very quickly put down as a rebellion.
How?
Basically, it was exactly the people who, owned the factories and who benefited from industrialization, who oftentimes were members of the government itself, and in any case had sufficiently close ties with the government, that the government actually invested quite a bit of effort, in some cases military effort, to keep these rebellions down. And eventually, industrialization forged on. And, the Luddites are history. They're not a strong presence anymore.
So if we saw this kind of unrest pushback from white-collar professionals, do you think they would be more successful than the Luddites?
That is the question. I personally think yes, because arguably these are exactly the people who are best connected to, all kinds of powerful positions. Our politicians have brothers and sisters and daughters and sons who are from these ranks. I kind of think of it a little bit like, when we saw the shift in in Congress from being pro marriage for same-sex couples. You know, a lot of the stories we heard about, oh, well, you know, I don't really believe this, but I have a daughter who's lesbian, or I have a brother who's gay, and I now understand that point of view. Imagine if that same thing happened about joblessness. And I would say so far we haven't seen that much because exactly the elite who tend to hold power don't have brothers and sisters and relatives and friends who are in that situation. But as those numbers rise, I think we'll see more and more.
Start hitting closer to home.
I think that's right.
On a personal level. You see this as a political challenge, not a technological challenge. Talk about that.
Yeah, ultimately, I think technologies amplify underlying human forces. So even, you know, today in today's discussion about fake news and political polarization, you know, I think social media has a role, but it's a role that is basically amplifying what is already happening in our society. Similarly, with unemployment and joblessness, you know, there's no reason why the same technologies that potentially put us out of work couldn't be put to use in a way that everybody benefits. But that's not the way our current social economic system is built. And so unless we're willing to change that underlying system, which is a human decision, the technology will probably just keep amplifying the inequality that is currently there.
So you're kind of talking about that 1%.
Yes, the 1% and increasingly the 0.1% mm-hmm. and so on. And even the 10% of which, you know, many of us who normally don't think of us ourselves as being in the 1% are members of.
If AI then is poised to cause mass unemployment, possible rebellion, as you put it, turning nearly everyone into possibly displaced workers, is there anything we can do about this in advance?
That's a good question. I mean, there's certainly lots of things we could do in advance. I think most of the things we could do in advance are, again, political in nature. They're about, you know, regulating industries that are extremely powerful and that these days influence billions of lives. They're about, you know, thinking about what is really a fair way to tax individuals. You know, things that seem like bread and butter political issues. If we fix those, then I think, interestingly, the technology automatically kind of ends up working in the favor of the same political changes we're trying to cause. On the other hand, no amount of, you know, technological development itself undoes those political things. And so unless we're focused on the politics and the social changes, the technology won't align.
These things you describe don't sound real likely in today's political environment.
Exactly. That's right.
Regulating businesses and powerful forces that are beyond average people.
Yes, I think that's true for now. But hopefully, you know, we'll come to our senses and possibly find other ways to achieve those ends. You know, one thing that, you know, we live in a democracy, so this is not a permanent situation. And so, you know, if we see that things are going in the wrong direction, hopefully as a society we'll change that.
Dr. Kentaro Toyama teaches at the University of Michigan School of Information. His article for theconversation.com is called "Will the AI Jobs Revolution Bring About Human Revolt Too?" Thank you so much for talking with us on The Next Idea.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.